But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you for joining me again. This is going to be part three of our series on restoring the soul. I think this one is going to round out the teaching. This should be the end of it, because I think after this one it will just nicely finish up everything here for you. I do want to say something to you. You know, even though I am bringing these teachings to you one after the other, please know that it would be impossible for you to actually complete this entire process in 3 weeks. Everything that I am sharing with you, these are things that I've basically learned over the last 21 years. Okay, I've truncated things to just teach it to you, but this is not actually how it's gonna work for you. Like, you'll do this over 3 weeks. No. Okay, no, it's a process. I'm just explaining to you how it works so that as you're going through it, you're aware of the things that you'll run into, what you'll come across, and how things will work, right? But it's a process. And so you need to be patient with yourself. If you feel like, I'm just not there, why is this so hard? It's okay, all right? Extend grace to yourself, be patient with yourself, and understand that what I'm sharing with you is 21 years worth of experience. It's not something I just learned from a book last week and processed and did it all in a matter of 3 weeks. No. I need to say that to you so that what you do is you take these teachings and you keep them. There's a whole bunch of videos. You go onto the website and you get the study guide, and you have that there, and you take your time as you're going through. And if all of this is going too fast for you, go ahead and just save them and work through each one. And then when you're ready, you go to the next one and then to the next one. This is the best way for you to do it. And even after you've gone to video number 40, you might find out you need to go back to video number 5 and go through that again, because perhaps you've now had 1 year where you can go back and look at things, right? So I just want to say that to you. Okay, so let me pray and we'll get into the teaching for today. Lord, you're just such a good Father, Abba Father. Thank you that your word is truth, that your word can actually transform, create miracles within us when we just apply ourselves to what you've taught us in your word. Thank you that you have not really left us as orphans. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have your Son in the Word, Jesus manifested in the Word, to help us as we go along. You've given us angels to work with us, Lord. You've done all of this just so that we could be transformed into your image and go from glory to glory. So we're thanking you for it, Lord. And even today, as this message, this teaching goes forward, that you will use it to transform us and just kind of help us to work through the process here. Thank you for covering us under your blood. Thank you for your ministering spirits, the angels that come to help us along the way, Lord. Most importantly, for your Holy Spirit that illuminates, that removes the veil from our eyes and our ears, that allows us to take in this information and process it and walk through it in life. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so restoring the soul. This week, what I want to talk to you about are your your feelings, your emotional state, okay? Because now you know that you have things that are generationally passed down to you. You have your attitudes and your behaviors. Now let's talk about your feelings. And these are things, again, that are not necessarily seen outwards. They're inside. It's how you feel. Okay, there is one thing that the Bible says something, but then there's another thing is how you actually feel, right? The Bible can say one thing, but what's going on in your life is a completely different thing. So I want to talk to you today about your feelings and how you process that. And the feelings that are really bad, that you need to be rid of, and what you should really be feeling once you have been restored in your soul, once you've gone through the process, what it actually looks like on the other side of that, right? So I want you to imagine that you have ground level. This is the place of neutrality, where you're neither here nor there. You know, when you come into the world, you're a sinner. You came into a fallen world. And from the day you were born, I mean, all of that, things happened to you. Trauma in your childhood, how you were raised, even as a teenager, as a young adult, as an adult, if you're married, if you're still single, if you have children and your job, all of these things are happening to you. And as a result, when you begin to process based on what the world tells you, you start to pick up some stuff. You start to have feelings. You start to hold on to traumas and things that are now deeply embedded on the inside of you. And these are, they're not good. And so now we have to talk about, like, well, what are they? And how do you get rid of these things that are on the inside of you that is stopping you from being who God has called you to be? Because understand that the more of these things that you have that are still who you are, a part of you, the harder it will be for you to actually live a successful Christian life. Have that life abundant that Christ said he came to give you. Have the peace and the joy and the rest of it, right? And so if you don't deal with these emotions and your feelings, you never get to that place. So I'm going to talk about the things that are below neutral level, down here. So that once you get rid of that and you come to neutral level, then you can then grow from there into the things of God and what the Lord has called you to be, okay? So the emotions that are not associated with God would look like this: shame, guilt, unworthiness. That's you saying that you're not deserving of what God is giving to you. Apathy. This is a place of, like, you don't care. You just see a hurting world or other people hurting, and you don't really care what's going on with them. Pride. Powerlessness. Insecurity. Despair, humiliation, jealousy, envy, rage, worry, pessimism. Everything is negative for you. You can only see, like, the bad in everything, never the good. Doubt, anger, fear, anxiety, depressed, discouragement, greed, lack, You're always in lack. Even your mind and your thinking is one of lack and poverty, never having enough, impatience, faithless. You really don't have any faith in anything. You're deceptive on purpose. Bitterness, selfish ambition, meaning this is the motivation for everything that you're doing. Being revengeful, and as such, coming up with wicked schemes. You're scheming to do something wicked to others. Hurt, pain, and trauma. Okay, so all of these things are below a base level of neutrality. There, you're like way down. Okay, and so if you can imagine that if these things, if you're not everything on this list, but let's just say that some of these things actually describe you, your emotional state, your feelings. This is who you are, okay? No one knows it except you. You're the only person that knows that this is actually what's going on with you, right? Well, that is coming out of you somehow. Remember that video where I talked and showed you about the vibration of your cells? That different cells in your body have a different vibration. Well, whether you realize it or not, those things, while you may never say it, you can even be just silently standing in a room, people pick up on it. Okay, this is why people tend to attract the same kind of people. If you're like, why is it these types of people always find me? Well, what is on the inside of you is actually going out there in the spiritual realm and saying, hey, this is who I am. So you are actually attracting those people to you by having that kind of negative emotion attached to you. By having those feelings attached to you, you're actually like sending out a call in the realm of the spirit to people that are like that or that prey on people like that. So if you tend to always attract abusive people, that is because they're picking up on that hurt and the pain and the trauma. And if victimhood should also be on there, if you're always victimized and that's on you and you never deal with that, now you're attracting people to you that'll take advantage of you. Because that's actually what's going out, even if you don't say it. Because the cells in your body are telling the story of what's in you. Okay? So, your goal is to remove those things from you, get to a neutral place, and then go above that, where you're looking more like Christ, where you are now exhibiting emotions that are associated with Christ, with God, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, with Abba Father. Okay? Because the truth is, I don't think the Holy Spirit is not going to share space with this stuff. Okay? No. This is why there's a scripture that says that you can quench the spirit. And you quench the spirit when you hold on to these kinds of emotions and feelings. Okay? Once the Holy Spirit comes in and you just allow him to do his work in you, those things will slowly start coming off of you. Okay, it's like peeling a layers of an onion. It'll just start to go, and you will begin to look more like Jesus. You'll begin to have more of the emotions that are associated with him instead of this. But the work has to be done, all right? And you already know the primary way is to read your Bible, okay? We're going to start with that. But I want to show you now, like, what are the emotions associated with Jesus? And you're going to see that if you have these emotions, it's going to be really hard for you to have the other ones. Because honestly, these emotions get rid of the other ones. They cannot exist. They're not going to be able to coexist if you are successfully walking in this, okay? First one, love. If you are a genuinely loving person, I'm talking the love of Christ, a lot of those emotions are gone. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you have that, there's absolutely no way you're going to have all those other emotions. Okay? Some of them might try to like attach themselves to you at different points in your life. But if you consistently walk with Christ in that way and take on the emotions, the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, those things can't stay in your life. They're going to be gone. The more you consistently walk in this, they're gone. And so you will stop attracting those people. You will. It will just automatically start happening. Because understand something. Not only are you attracting the bad, but then have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I want to be friends with that person. I want to hang out with that person. And then you're realizing that person doesn't want to hang out with you. Why is that? Because you're attracted to something in them that you're like, I want that. But you're not realizing that your own emotional state is repelling them. They're like, no. You see what I'm saying? Because the like spirit, you don't have the same type of a spirit. Your spirit man, what's inside of you, is not going to attract a person like that to you. They want what looks like them. They're not going to hang out with somebody that's going to bring them back down into that ground level past the neutrality spot, are they? No. They don't want to hang out with that. They already came from that place. They came from that place. They got here. And then they learned how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit and went higher and higher and higher in God. They're not going to be hanging out with people that live down there. So the only way you get those types of friends, you have to come up yourself. You have to, over the course of your life, start to cut off yourself, disassociate with things that are attached to those negative emotions, like people, places, what you watch, what you read, what you're listening to, the gates, remember? So the more you start to like push all of that away and learn more about Christ, read more about Christ, walk in the things of Christ, the higher you will go into that and start to exhibit the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And then when you become that person, now you can be friends with those people. Because now they're like, hey, you're like me. I'm like you. Let's hang out. Because outside of that, if you try to hang out with them, they're going to say, no. Okay? Because you're bringing them down. Ministry is a different thing. Because when you're in ministry, you can minister to everybody up here or down here. I'm talking your friends, like for real friends. Yeah. Likewise, if you're gonna have friends, your friends need to be moving with you in that direction. They have to be calling you to the higher you, not pit. Mountaintop, Christ-likeness, Christ-like living. Yeah. And so the process, this is why I told you this thing decades, the process includes cutting off influences that keep you down in the ground. And this is not an easy thing to do. Because, you know, a lot of the people you have to cut off in life, you love them. They're your friends. They've been around you for years and you really do love them. But then you get to the place where you realize, wow, this is not helping me. Every time around this person, I'm down here. I'm thinking negatively. I'm doing bad things. I'm saying bad things. It's just not working, right? And so you have to move from that place. Okay. Now, if you think about it, these feelings and emotional states are then what lead to the defilement of the body. Okay? You learned in the makeup of man that there is mind, body, soul, spirit, right? Okay, we've talked about the mind, renewing the mind with the Bible, the Word of God. We're talking about the souls and the soul and your emotions. The emotions that you have and these feelings are actually what lead to the sins of the body. When I say the sins of the body, which are part of the regeneration and restoration of who you are, is getting rid of the things that are also affecting your body, like addictions, all of the addictions, like eating disorders, overeating, any kind of abuses done to your body, smoking and all of that. All of these are actually linked to your emotional state. Are they not? I mean, like, why would you overeat and gain weight if not there was something that was causing you to eat? You get what I'm saying? There's a root. It's not so much the food. It's that there's a problem why you eat. Why do you have an eating disorder? Because there is a problem that you're trying to fix, and the only way you think of fixing it is by doing that, right? Why do you dress seductively going to church? Because there's a problem, and there's something you're trying to fix by dressing like that. And if you just go back and start to question yourself, why exactly am I dressed like this morning? Whose attention am I trying to get by dressing like this? And then if you really start to process that and you realize, well, if I'm gonna get this guy by dressing like this, that means any woman that dresses like this should be able to get him too. Well, is that the kind of person you want to be with? See, these are the questions we have to ask ourselves about why we do what we do, right? In order for you to get in touch with your emotional state and what you're thinking, you have to think about what you're thinking. Think about what you're thinking. Why am I stuck in this loop? I'm stuck in this loop because you have to like literally sit and process it. Why do I feel this way? Start asking yourself the question, right? So now what I want to do is give you kind of like a template of how would you address these emotions, right? That's the first thing. How are you going to address them? To get yourself from under this ground to neutral to going higher in the Lord, okay? So, first thing, there are three steps. First, you're going to do is identify the emotion. What exactly is it? Second thing you're going to do is talk to God about it. And the third thing you're going to do is find the scripture reference that relates to what you're feeling. Read it, meditate on it, find as much of them as you can, and you need to stay in that word. And you will begin to see changes, permanent changes to your life. That is how you fix them, okay? Now, identify the solution. So, something's going on. You need to sit and say, what am I feeling? What am I really feeling? What is the emotion? I will tell you that the worst of all of them, I believe, are ones like guilt, shame, unworthiness, or unforgiveness. But unforgiveness in terms of you're not forgiving yourself. Not unforgiveness because you haven't forgiven others. You haven't forgiven yourself. Because that is also a part of unforgiveness too, right? And why do I think guilt, shame, unworthiness, and unforgiveness are the worst? Because those emotions are self-imposed. Okay? They're self-imposed. It's like you're keeping yourself hostage. You're in jail, but you're the actual jailer. Okay? You're the one that keeps yourself in shame. It's the self-talk that keeps you bound. You're the one that keeps yourself in unworthiness because, again, you keep telling yourself you do not deserve instead of just receiving. Receive it and say, thank you. Yes, I'm going to take this. Thank you very much. Okay? The shame, it goes on you and then you self-impose it and then you constantly walk in the shame, right? Same thing with the unforgiveness. It's like you have to forgive yourself. No one is coming to forgive you of the thing that you need to forgive yourself from. Okay, so I think these are the worst because they're self-imposed. All of the others are usually emotions that they'll come at us and we can probably easier to get that off than the self-imposed ones because then it's just you learning to free yourself from it, right? So let's go ahead and take a look at some examples in the Word. So identifying the emotion. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. So it says that David was distressed. The emotion he was feeling was distressed, obviously, because they're trying to kill him. He made a mistake and they were coming after him. But what was his solution? His solution was he went to the Lord. He went to God. There is actually no other way for you to deal with any of this but go to the Lord. Okay, Lord. Leads me to number 2 point. Tell it to God. Okay, Lord. So this is going on with me and this is how I feel. I'm going to tell you something. Stop walking around and telling other people your business. Stop telling people what your issues are. Even in church. Even in church. Your first point of contact should be the Lord. You're going to go to the Lord and you're going to sit and just tell him how you feel. And please, for goodness sakes, when you are in front of the Lord, don't lie or pretend. He already knows. The biggest part of your healing is hearing yourself say the ugly thing about you. When you hear yourself admit it to God, that's why you don't need to tell everybody. When you hear yourself open your mouth and say it to the Lord, now it's out there. Now you and Jesus can commune on that thing. You can talk about it and he can give you some solutions. Be honest. Maybe you never told anyone before, but I'm telling you, there's nothing like sitting before the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, so here's the deal. I cannot stand that woman. Oh, goodness gracious me, Lord. What is up with that man? Go say it. Lord, you know, I don't like how come she is so blessed and I've been doing this for so long. Like I have done everything you asked me and she has all of this and I don't have nothing. Say it, not to other people, to the Lord. Because in that place of you just, have you ever read the Psalms? You ever hear some of the things that David says to the Lord? That's how you get it out. It's how you get it out. It's like you're getting it off of you, right? Tell Jesus. Have you ever read some of the stuff that David said? You're like, man. And then the Lord turned around and said, this is a man after my own heart. How? Because by expressing it, you're putting out it in the open to the Lord. And you're saying, look, I'm acknowledging to you, Lord, that this is not so cool of me to be thinking this. But I'm just telling you, this is how I'm thinking, and I'm going to need your help to get rid of this. I don't know how to get rid of this, but I need to get rid of this. I feel so guilty because I did X, Y, Z. Even if you did do it, say it to the Lord. The freedom of just admitting who you are before the Lord. It's just you and God. Just say it. Just say it. I'm telling you, when you start to hear yourself verbalize you to the only person that you can truly trust, and you just wait and watch him come with a solution to tell you, here is what you need to do. And you do that thing and it's gone. You could spend years in therapy and you never get delivered like that. Okay? I'm telling you. You're gonna read your Bible. You cannot go anywhere without this. And then you're going to sit with the Lord and you're going to say, here is how I feel. And you're going to tell the truth. Tell the truth. I know I'm not supposed to feel like this, but this is how I feel. Just say it. I understand that I am not supposed to be thinking divorce, but this is what I'm thinking. I understand that you gave me this person for the rest of my life, but my goodness, really? Okay? He's the only person you can actually be honest with and know that A, he's not going anywhere else. It's just between two of you. B, he can actually give you a solution that will fix it because he knows everything. And C, oh my gosh, that thing comes off of you. It's gone. And then he walks you through the process of how to get rid of it. And that's it. Some of it is a process, and sometimes he will just take that thing immediately and it's gone. Because when you come out of a situation like that, what happens is you become authentic. Authentic. Because you've dealt with all the stuff that is gonna cause you to create some kind of image that you think other people need to see to hide the real you. Okay? So authenticity is what comes from that. You're not afraid to step into who you are in Christ because you've dealt with the stuff. And even if years later, people come back and say, oh, I know her, I know him, he used to do this. You can say, yeah, that's true. I used to do that. You're not even ashamed of it because that thing has been dealt with. You dealt with it. Okay? So that's why you need to do this. So you can free yourself from all of that. You can sit with the Lord. The Lord can give you the solutions so you can move forward in Him in freedom and not being bound up by all of this stuff. Okay? So I hope that kind of helps you to see the process of how it works, right? So, like I said, think about what you're thinking about. What is really you're feeling on certain things? What is your emotional state? And then you're going to ask yourself, is this of God? And the minute you realize, no, this emotion is not from God, now you have to address it with Him. And when you go to address it with Him, He's actually going to give you scriptures that will help you to pull yourself out of that, okay? Because the medicine, the healing, is not only the presence of God and prayer and being with Him, but it's reading the Word is what is gonna start to transform who you are, okay? So now let me give you an example. Let's say you were feeling discouraged. It's like, I'm feeling discouragement and I feel like I'm in this place of discouragement all the time. You know that that is not an emotion from the Lord. Okay, go online. Bible verses that have to do with discouragement. You're going to start looking up the scriptures, right? So here we go. Let's say it was discouragement. We go and we have Psalm 42, verse 5 to 6. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. Even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan from the land of Mount Mizar. Believe it or not, in that one scripture, the Lord gave the solution for how to come out of discouragement. Now, you read it, but you're probably thinking, I don't see the solution. If you sat and you studied and read, that's why I said, don't just read, meditate. We did the class already on meditative scripture reading, and I'm going to link it here. If you sat and meditated on that scripture, he gave you the solution in the scripture. So let's look at it. The solution. So you're discouraged. The solution. Put your hope in God. Discouraged? I'm going to put my hope in God. And what do I do when I put my hope in him? I'm going to go ahead and praise and worship him. So then after you praise and worship God, it says, remember God. He says, but I will remember you. Okay, so remember God. The reference here is that he thought about all the past experiences he had in these different places, and he was looking forward to his future. Okay, these are your testimonies. That's why it's so important for you to write down your testimonies. Every time God does something amazing in your life, you need to document it, because we tend to forget. We so easily forget the last thing he did, right? So when you've gone through some of the hardest times and you see how God has come through for you, write it down. Because based on... So then the process looks like this. You're going to put your hope in God. Then you're going to worship and praise him, and then you're going to recall all the testimonies from the past and align those with the promises he's given you for the future. This is basically what this scripture is saying. When you go back and you start to remember all the times that God has come through for you in the past, in all of those past seasons, you will begin to realize that he is going to come through for you again, because why wouldn't he? And as such, there's absolutely no reason for you to be discouraged. That is the formula that was just set out in that one scripture. Look at it again. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember, even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. All of these places had a significance in David's life. And when he reflected on all that God had done in these places, the moments when God showed up in his presence in David's life and rescued him in all of these places, David reminded himself of that. And that is what pulled him out of his discouragement. So you see, the word of God by itself, when we read it, we meditate on it, and we're asking ourselves, okay, let me go ahead and follow through on what it says that I should do, the solution will come to us. God's word is the best therapist you can find. Okay, so that's it. What I'm going to do in the study guide is to give you a snapshot on shame and some of the scriptures you can use for that to pull yourself out of shame. All right, I will provide that for you in the study guide. But all you have to do is just look up the scriptures in the Bible. It's an easy search on the internet. Go through, read them, meditate on them. But first, you have to identify what it is that you're feeling. You need to take it to the Lord acknowledge this to him, ask him to help you, go ahead and look up the scriptures, start to read and meditate on them. And that is how you will start to get rid of these feelings and emotions that are not from God. And then get into the place where you start to meditate on the things that are emotions and feelings of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all the things that say this is who God is. That is what you look to. And that is what's going to take you even further. So I hope this has been really helpful for you, that you got something from this. And, you know, be kind to yourself, be gentle with yourself, extend grace to yourself to just slowly go through this process. And if you just keep consistent at it, recognizing and working on stuff, one day you're going to look back and say, wow, I am no longer the person I used to be. I have truly changed. Okay, so let me go ahead and just pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for your word. Thank you that everything that we need, all the food for our soul, for our spirit, for our mind, for our body, you have provided for us in your word. Your word, it is truth, it is transformative, and it can fix every and all issue that we have, Lord. If we would just trust in you, in your word, and in what you said. I just thank you for guiding us by your spirit to all the scriptures that we need to read to help us to get from where we are to where we need to be in you. Thank you for the grace that you will give us, Lord, to be patient with ourselves in this process, Lord, knowing that you started this good work and you will complete it all the way up until your return, Christ. You're doing that work in us, and we thank you for it. Bless us now as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, and that is it. Remember, in the study guide, I'm going to have something laid out for you on shame if you want to take a look at that. All right, have an amazing week. Bye.